is Jaguars Post Game. Jaguars Post Game. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Ed Taylor will break down today's game. Jeff Loggeman will have player interviews and an exclusive conversation with head coach Doug Marrone. Jaguars Post Game is presented by Baptist Health, Farrah & Farrah, Geico, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars Post Game starts right now.
Here we go in Jaguars Post Game. The Jags win the AFC Wildcard Playoff game against the Buffalo Bills. Final score of 10-3. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey.
Knuckle up, baby.
Here we
Come
go.
On.
Jags are going to Pittsburgh for the divisional round next week. A 1:05 kickoff time next Sunday at Heinz Field, Pittsburgh. The Jags get it done on defense today. They get it done somehow on the legs of Blake Bortles in key moments in this game, despite Blake Bortles and the other parts of this football game today. But the defense is the story. They gave up some yardage in the first half, but then second half, punt, 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 interception, ball game, Jags win.
Shut down. We said at the half, JP, the defense had to treat it like they cannot allow any more points because they might not be able to. And, you know, the Jags scored one time in the second half, and that was plenty. And, you know, Blake Bortles was the biggest detriment to the Jags offense today. He was also the biggest help at the same time. His passing, not good. His running kind of saved the day for the offense today, right? I mean, even on the field goal drive at the end of the half, had a couple big runs to set that up. And then on that long 15-play drive, you know, and even beyond that, picking up a key 13-yard gain on second down, which enabled them to run just a little bit more clock and a little bit more clock, and you put Buffalo in such a tough position.
Jaguars defense got it done today. Head coach Doug Marrone standing by with Jeff Loggeman.
All right, thank you, JP. Doug, congratulations. It's been a long time since there's been a playoff game here in this town, and to have it back here in town and a win is big.
It is, and you know, that's the one thing that we talked about. Obviously, you know, I'm always talking about the team and making sure we play, and you know, obviously the fans come into my mind, and I just broke the team down, and I told them, I said, you know, there's been a lot of players that have been through here that's been through a lot. You know, the organization has been through a lot. But no one's, you know, been through as much as, you know, what our fans have gone through. So I told them, I said, hey, this game ball is for the fans. This goes to City Hall. And, you know, they were unbelievable today. Just an unbelievable atmosphere. And it's something that really, really helps us. And, you know, I just want to make sure they understand that how much we appreciate them.
Well, and it seems like that the defense fed off of that. Aaron Colvin gets his first career interception in the playoffs in a big moment. And then Jalen Ramsey closes the game out with what is just an incredible athletic interception.
Yeah, I mean, I think defensively, you know, early on we couldn't sustain drives on offense. Our defense was on the field a bunch, you know. But they kept playing, and I thought, you know, a critical point is, you know, we had the offsides down there, that one drive that they had. We had two penalties. They had the quarterback runs, you know, and they put it back there, and then the offensive pass interference and holding them to three, I thought was, you know, one of the key points. And then, you know, the rest of the time, I thought the defense, you know, did a heck of a job.
And offensively, kind of hard finding a rhythm, but your quarterback, you know, gave it some effort, and also gave it some effort on the ground, and ended up having some big plays with his legs.
He definitely did. I mean, you know, the plays that he made with his legs was big, and everything counts, and that's what happens in the playoffs. I mean, every yard, every drive, so key, so important. You know, we really never did get into a rhythm. You know, hats off to Buffalo. They did a heck of a job. I mean, you know, it was a well-fought game, you know, saying from both sides, and, you know, we were able to make enough plays or stop them from making plays to come up on top.
Congratulations, and it's on to Pittsburgh.
I'm just going to celebrate right now. I'm not going to think about that till later tonight.
All right, thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, why not? Celebrate this one for a while.
We got bologna and cheese to eat, Jeff, okay? Come on.
That's right.
I mean, usually it's like, hey, you know, Belichick on to whoever. Not the case. Doug Marrone, absolutely enjoy this one.
Jaguars win at 10-3. We'll return Jeff Loggeman inside the victorious locker room when we come back. Final score, Jaguars 10, Bills 3. The Jags win the AFC wildcard playoff game. They're headed to Pittsburgh for the divisional round next week, and this is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette reminding you that every day a portion of every Firehouse Subs purchase goes towards helping first responders in our communities. That's why they make their subs so hot, hearty, and extraordinary. And now, for a limited time, every day get a medium sub of the day for just $5.55. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time offer at participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.
Here's why our members say they choose ViStar Credit Union.
I choose ViStar because everyone's friendly, and I just love coming to ViStar to do my banking. I'll never change.
Plays. We didn't start off well offensively. Couldn't get off the field on defense. But we were able to keep that game tied going into halftime. I thought the one drive was critical. You know, we started out, I believe, at the minus 14, had the big drive, you know, with the fourth down and scoring a touchdown there. Now that the defense came back and did a heck of a job in the second half. Really, just at the end of the day, it was just a hard-fought game, and that's what playoff football is. And, you know, we're able to get the win at home, which was big. And just like I told the team, I said, you know, obviously, you know, there's been struggles here, you know, with the organization. You know, there's been players coming through in and out, you know, as not being in the playoffs and finally getting a home playoff game, you know, for the first time since 1999, you know, being able to win. And I thought that, you know, after the game, you know, we wanted to make sure that, you know, we recognize the support that we have with our fans and you know, we'll be giving a game ball to, I believe, wherever the best place is, I guess City Hall for the fans. You know, I thought they were outstanding. The energy was just better than Coach Coughlin described.
Sure.
I thought that, you know, they played well. We were able to get pressure. You know, the one drive, I thought that was a key drive before. We had the two penalties. They had the two quarterback runs, then the offensive pass interference, and then we were able to hold them to three. You know what I'm saying? I thought that was a big stop. But, you know, after that, you know, I think they, you know, they broke a run or two here or there, but I thought defensively they did a nice job. You know, we had Puz go out. You know, Blair Brown came in. He did a nice job. AC, you know, had his first interception today. Aaron Colvin, you know, he was sick before the game, not knowing if he was, you know, he woke up with a little bit of a bug. He went out there and toughed it up, but then, you know, obviously he couldn't, you know, we put Patman in there. So I think that's been the story of the season, you know, young guys, you know, coming in there and playing a role and doing a nice job.
Can you talk a little bit about the third quarter drive? What was different about that? Because the first half, you didn't
we had we were struggling a little bit with the wind. Like, you know, I think both teams, I can't speak for them, but I know we were going away from the pools, you know, going into that end zone. So, you know, so we came out and then obviously we elected to receive and thinking that they were going to go ahead, you know what I'm saying, with and take the win in the fourth quarter, which they did. And then we wanted to make sure that we moved the ball. I think it started off, we had a good play. I believe it was Didi coming over the middle. I'm not sure. I know we had a nice throw in there. Made a couple of plays. Blake, I think, the big thing about, you know, him today was he made a lot of plays with his feet, you know what I'm saying, in the running. And then we were able to get the ball down in there. And then on the fourth down, you know, Koyak makes the catch.
As a follow-up, what are your concerns about your offense moving forward?
Right now, I'll think about that tomorrow. I'm really excited about the game, but we would never really gotten into a rhythm, and we weren't able to get anything on the third down. So, you know, I'd be a fool to sit here and say I'm not concerned, but, you know, I'm going to, you know, take a step back and go ahead and look at it again. And I know what happened, but I'm just saying, obviously, if you want to continue to keep playing, you're going to have to do a better job.
Can you share with us what did happen?
Yeah, in other words, we didn't convert on third down. I don't think we did a good enough job on first and second down running the football. I think those are the things that come to my mind first. You know, I wish that I thought we were going to do a better job running the football. We didn't. Credit to them.
What does it say about Blake that struggled a little bit the first half, but then in the second half he's able to make some plays on that key drive, especially with his feet? Was that a grow-up drive for him, for a guy that really, you know, first playoff game type of thing?
No, you know, it was interesting. You know, at halftime, I think because we went in, it was, you know, 3-3. I think that, you know, the players at halftime, it's hard to describe. I would describe it as, you know, hey, listen, we know things aren't going the way we want them to go. You know, we've got to keep fighting, we got to keep going. But it wasn't a high level of pressure. You know what I'm saying? Of, oh my God, we got. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, let's focus. Let's not make mistakes. Let's go out there and let's play. You know, for me as a coach, I look at that a little bit more of the mindset, you know, about what they're going to do to go out there.
Did you count yourself at halftime to move Blake around,
Coach? We tried to move him around a little bit earlier. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so we like, you know, obviously we know. I mean, people that look at us on film, we like to get them on the move.
Doug, can you talk a little bit about the fourth down play, the thought of going for the touchdown and the call itself?
Yeah, I thought, you know, I mean, we were going down there and, you know, didn't feel comfortable. You know, inside the one, I felt we had a good play. I felt very confident in it. You know, we make the call and we go and we score. And I thought that, you know, conversely, I was thinking to myself, you know, hey, maybe this time we can keep them down there if we don't. You know, that always goes into play. Whereas before, I thought Buffalo did a nice job. You know, we couldn't flip the field position, you know what I'm saying, a couple times during this game. And I thought what was probably, you know, something that was disappointing that you can't allow yourself to do is when we caused our first turnover, we weren't able to get any points out of that. I thought that was, you know, a critical thing that I thought would come back and haunt us, you know what I'm saying, during the game.
Just as a follow, is that going to the tight end the whole way?
That's exactly what the play call is.
First playoff game for a lot of these guys. I mean, did you sense just the nerves right off the bat? And if you did, when did it finally, you know, feel comfortable?
Probably better for them, you know, to answer that question. I mean, it's hard for me to tell. You know, during the week, you know, we just went about, you know, preparing them business as usual, you know what I'm saying, knowing that the crowd and everything was going to bring it up. So I think they're probably better at answering that question. We're trying to, you know, make sure we get them in the best situation and plays, you know, to give them the ability to make some plays so we can put ourselves in position to win.
By surviving this game and winning, do you think your young guys can, you know, get some confidence that they can win in this kind of situation where it's not pretty?
Playoff football is about just, you know, you just go out there to win. You know, I mean, no one's really looking to win any beauty contest or anything of that nature. I think that, you know, the teams that you're playing is going to be, it's going to be all out. Everything's all out on that football field. I mean, and like I said, I'd be remiss not to give credit to Buffalo. I mean, they left it all out there, and I thought our guys were leaving it all out there. Each week it's a different story, you know what I'm saying, and what you want to do. And then, you know, very rarely in my experience have you been able to, you know, everything just go as easy as that, and then just wind up blowing somebody out. I mean, it's a difficult time. It's tough football. Each week is going to be geared to doing the best job you can, but it still goes back to the same thing I've been talking about all year. It's going to be your performance on that day, you know what I'm saying, and what you're able to do. So, you know, obviously we're going to have to do some better things as we go forward. There's no doubt about that.
Does this win, what do you think this does for Blake in terms of his teammates? Not playing well and coming back, making some plays?
I have no idea. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I mean, you got to remember, when you're asking me about someone's mindset, it's hard for me to put myself in their situation because, you know, like I've said a bunch of times, Mike, you know, I don't know how many people would be able to handle, you know, what he's gone through, and you guys, for the guys that cover the team the whole time, the amount of criticism on the outside, you know, and then, you know, gets on a little bit of a roll and comes down. I just think that, you know, I know that when we show up tomorrow, you know, he'll be the same guy. He's gonna work and do whatever he can. So I can't really speak for his mindset.
Does it move him up a notch for you in terms of?
I'm just looking to win. So I mean, there's a lot of other things that are going on. Like when you say move him up a notch, meaning what?
Respect level.
I've always respected him. I have a ton of respect for anyone that goes on that field and plays. I mean, it's a whole lot more difficult, especially during this time, you know, in the playoffs, to go on that field and play. The game definitely rises. There's no doubt about it. I learned that from Herm Edwards my first year in this league. He told me opening day in the playoffs, and the further you go in the playoffs, the higher the level of play gets.
On the play by play where he's out of bounds right there in front of you on the sideline. Were you relying on your eyes, upstairs, players?
No, because timeouts are so critical. I rely on the process we have, you know what I'm saying, of making sure it's 100%, you know what I'm saying, it's in that situation. You know, so once it came down and said, hey, foot was on the line, then, you know, I threw the flag. Yeah, we have all that taken care of.
So who's the point guy upstairs?
I'm never going to tell. The only reason why I don't tell is because now it's great. You know what I'm saying? But when things don't go well, it's still my call. But there's actually two guys upstairs. We have two guys upstairs, two assistant coaches.
Let me ask you about your
last
mindset.
Two, right? David in the middle.
I want to ask you about your mindset. Are you mentally exhausted because you just won a playoff game and you seem so low-key, so just beat?
I'm already thinking about, like, kind of how Gene's question was, like, you know, what we've got to do to get better. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think about it or what do you need to improve on, or, you know, how do you feel about, you know, the way you played? You know what I mean? I mean, I immediately go into a mode of, you know, we've earned 65 more snaps, you know, for this season. You know, that's how I look at the playoffs. You know, once you make it, you're only guaranteed about, on average, 65 snaps. How you prepare for those 65 snaps is extremely important. So right now my mind's thinking about, you know, going forward.
All right, last one in the middle.
Coach, can you talk about your overall defensive effort, though? Just 3 points, shape before it looked like this healthy, but the defense did a good job shutting down.
We had a good feel. I mean, I saw the doctors afterwards. I told our team and our coaches, you know, having had the experience with their trainers and doctors, you know, in Buffalo, I really felt like he was going to play and the type of competitor that he is. You know, I didn't think he showed any signs of, you know, being you know, limited in it. But, you know, I thought our defense did a nice job. Our defense has been doing that, you know, for most of the year. You know, they've been playing well. And, you know, I think that continued on today.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Good luck next week.
Yep.
Ninth. And that was a sellout. So if the fullback had been able to slip in the flat, I think that would have scored as well. But gutsy call, 4th and 1, I think was the right call, especially with the way the defense had been playing throughout the day. And they was able to capitalize with a Koyak touchdown.
Boy, if they don't make it, we might still be playing.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, honestly. Yeah. But they did. And the bottom line, it doesn't matter how you look this week, Fred. Do you think, because it seemed evident to me that the moment got big for Blake in the first half. You know, I thought nerves were a big factor. Do you think this gets it out of his system? You know, the win, the fact that he used his legs, he kind of just played a little more instinctively. Is this done now as far as that kind of aspect of him preparing for the next game?
You know, I would like to hope so. I mean, you know, just looking at the beginning of the game with the receivers dropped, Leonard had a drop.
Yep.
Few other just balls by Blake that were short behind or in front low. Mickens with the bobble punt return there. Inexperience in the playoffs, it showed. In my experience, it showed in my opinion. Fresh start next week. Hopefully this did get it out of their system a little bit. I want to say Big Ben isn't as dynamic in the pocket as Tyrod. So it'll be some opportunities for the defense to close out on some of those sacks. Be a totally different ball game. But I just think that the jitters that we saw today, those will be gone next week, and we'll see a few more points on the board.
How about let's go back to the first half, the 18-play, 71-yard drive for the Buffalo Bills. Right. It ended in a field goal. They had first and goal at the 1.
That was huge, man. The pass interference on Kelvin Benjamin right there, that was probably the game-changing play of the entire game. Because before that, you talk about the 3rd and 1, they don't get it. Then they get ready to go in the field goal. We have the neutral zone infraction.
Which is debatable.
Very debatable. But at that point on my note sheet, I said that was the biggest play of the moment.
Blake Bortles, playoff-winning quarterback.
Sweet. We get to play again. You know, that's all you can ask for. You know, obviously, offensively, we didn't play the way we wanted to play. And kind of like, you know, our defense has played all year. They were incredible. Gave us opportunities. And, you know, at the end of the day, you got to score one more point than the other team, and we found a way to do that.
Do you feel less urgency on the offense? Because of the way your defense plays?
You know, I think urgency is always important in wanting to move the ball and be efficient and score points. I think, you know, when you have a defense like we do, you know, I think it allows you to kind of, you know, not press, not try and do too much, not try and force things, you know, because you know you're going to get another opportunity when they go out there. So, you know, like I said, we still got to find ways to move the ball and be more efficient and put up more points to give them some more help. But they had our back today, and we were able to find a way to win.
Blake, did you ever think you'd see a day where you had more rushing yards than passing yards?
No. It's usually not ideal for a quarterback, you know, but it is what it is. You know, I said earlier, I kind of felt like last week, you know, I didn't run a whole lot. You know, I don't think I ran at all. So, you know, I kind of felt like we lost and got beat without kind of, you know, emptying all our bullets. You know, so I wanted to make sure that whatever happened today, you know, if we were going to get beat or if something bad was going to happen, it was going to be with us, you know, going down swinging and using every option and thing we could. So, you know, I think the win was a factor a little bit going one way. You know, but I thought we did a good job up front, and they did a good job of getting back and getting underneath some routes, so it kind of allowed for me to run a little bit.
Moving forward, could you just talk a little bit about the AFC teams that are in your way, starting with Pittsburgh? I mean, obviously 10 points is not going to get it done against a team like that.
Right, yeah. You know, you never know. You know, I think going into the game, you know, there's no secret recipe on how to win. There's no, you know, there's no number that says you got to score this many points to beat them. You know, kind of like I said, you got to score one more than they score. You know, regardless of if it's 50 or if it's 3, you got to find a way to outscore them. And next week's a totally new challenge. So, you know, we'll get started on that tomorrow and figure out how we're going to do that.
Like the trust that was shown on that 4th-and-1 play, I think that kind of gave you some momentum.
Yeah, I think it put us in the lead. I think it definitely helped out. I think putting a drive like that together coming out, I think it was our second drive of the second half, and we were able to go 80 or whatever it was, you know, and ended on 4th down with that. I think that was big. I think, you know, obviously it gives our defense a breather, some time to sit over there and relax, and then gives them a lead. So, you know, they play well with the lead, so anytime we're able to give them that, it's usually a positive thing.
Did the call surprise you at all?
No, I actually thought it was going to come in on 3rd down because we had talked about that being our first play down on the goal line. So we didn't get it, and you know, I asked Nate why he didn't call it on the first time, and I guess Doug had already told him that he had 2 downs, so he was saving it for the 4th down if we didn't get in.
Is that a regular short yardage 4th down play you guys practiced during the
week? Yeah, we put it in this week and worked it a couple times, and it was definitely up. You know, if we got down there on the goal line, we were going to call it. And you know, Ben did a good job of selling it. Everybody up front did a good job of selling it, and he made a good play in the back of the end zone.
When was the last time you probably ran for more than you threw? Would that be high school, probably?
I mean, probably never, honestly. I don't think that's ever happened.
What does that mean that you're able to find an alternate way to win games in the playoffs when it's hard to win games at all?
Right. You know, I kind of reference it to like a pitcher, and you know, you go out and you something's not on, right? You don't have a fastball, you don't have a curveball, you got to find another pitch to be able to win and be successful and get guys out. And you know, that's kind of the same thing playing quarterback. If you know, if whatever the situation is, if you know, you're not able to your number one option, use that and have that be successful. I think, you know, I'm kind of fortunate to be able to run around and be able to do that stuff and have, you know, kind of an option B, you know, to kind of help this offense move the ball and put up points. So I just trying to do really whatever I can to help this team win, help this team score points.
Like the you know, first time as a playoff quarterback, were the jitters there at the beginning, and when did you start feeling, you know, like you can get into a rhythm?
You know, it was kind of a weird day, and we talked about it a little bit as an offense. You know, never outside of that one drive we had, you know, kind of weren't ever in a groove or in a zone or feeling it, you know. So we got to find ways to start faster and, you know, kind of make that consistent throughout the game. So there's a lot of stuff that we'll have to correct and get rolling. But I thought, you know, that one drive was incredible. And then there were some things throughout the game that were good. You know, we just got to find ways to make those more permanent.
And the field goal, the leading to the field goal that tied it, obviously you used your legs to get him into the field goal range. I mean, is that just snap second, 49 seconds ago, I'm just got to do anything I can at that point?
You know, you got good field position, and you know, we were going into the wind headed that way. You know, so it was kind of like, you know, let's pick at 1 or 2, and if it's not there, let's take off and run. You know, so we were able to move the ball and get down there and give Josh a chance to kick one and tie it up 1.5.
How much was the wind a factor? Because there was, particularly in the first half, it looked like you were missing some short throws by, you know, off target even more so than you should.
Yeah, it moved the ball a couple times, so I think I was trying to figure it out and play the wind a little bit, but it's part of football. You know, when you play outside, the weather's going to be a factor. It'll be a factor next week, I'm sure, in Pittsburgh. So it's not an excuse. You know, it's something that both teams have to deal with and figure out. And, you know, that stuff's it's going to happen, but you want to try and limit it as little as possible or figure it out as quick as you can.
Were you frustrated at all at halftime, just knowing not being, or did you just kind of let it roll off and say, hey, let's just go
play? Yeah, I felt fine. You know, I think kind of the you know, the thought process of the offense was, you know, we just played a bad half of football and we're able to come out of it tied 3-3. You know, we hadn't turned the ball over. You know, we didn't do a whole lot. you know, as though we felt like we should have done. So I think to be able to come out of that first half 3-3 and then come out of the second half and get, you know, a couple plays going and then put a big drive together, I thought was big for, you know, momentum in our team.
Did the atmosphere and the overall experience live up to your expectations?
It was incredible. You know, kind of talking to guys on the sidelines, there's not a lot of people, I think, outside of Mercedes that have ever seen the stadium like that. And, you know, I think for us to run out of the tunnel and see all those people there, and, you know, for the first time since I've been here, see, you know, the tarps taken off of the upper deck and the corners, you know, it was special. It was cool to be able to do this in front of, you know, our home crowd in Jacksonville in our stadium. You know, everybody knows it hasn't been done in a long time, so it was really special to be able to give them that.
The late runs in the second quarter, did that sort of dictate how you attacked them in the second half?
You know, I think a little bit. I think it was part of it. I think it was something that we kind of saw and, you know, thought we could take advantage of or, you know, amp up in the game plan with some of the zone read stuff. So I thought Nate did a good job of figuring that out and calling some of that stuff. So it was definitely part of it.
In a week span, your alma mater wins the Peach Bowl
national champs
this week. This week you get your playoff win. What's the feeling of, you know, doing that in Florida with your alma mater?
Right. Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, it's always kind of been special for me to be able to play in Jacksonville, be so close to home, and where I grew up and where I played. And then obviously the year they had this year, being able to watch that. I got a chance to go down for a game earlier, but they were incredible. Scott Frost and McKenzie, and you know, that offense was electric and fun to watch. You know, so it was really cool. You know, I guess to kind of combine those things within a, you know, a 2-hour drive is pretty special.
Did you think about Milton at all when you were running? You ran like, I think you ran like 2 up the gut for about 32 yards in the first half, and Milton had kind of the same thing where pass wasn't going, but he was using his legs.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's probably a little more athletic than I am, a little more agile. But, you know, I think that's something that, you know, maybe we have in common is being able to run and, you know, if things aren't working, you know, being able to take off and create some things down the field.
Like maybe UCF season might help change the narrative in the discussion about how the college football playoffs should change, or do you think it might help change the format to give guys like UCF a chance?
Yeah, I have no idea. As a UCF alum, I'm always rooting for them. I think they always deserve a shot, whether they do or not. I have no idea. You know, there's a lot of people that are in charge of making those decisions and setting all that straight. But, you know, they're national champs in my book.
Last one. Good.
He tipped it in the air. He made a diving interception, and it's the Jaguars football at midfield.
That sealed the game. Jalen Ramsey with the interception in the closing seconds. The Jags kneel down. Final score 10-3. Defense.
Plenty of highlights there.
Defense wins it today.
All we needed was that Koyak touchdown, JP. I mean, we covered everything right there.
The Nortman punt on there. Earlier in the game that changed the field position.
Oh,
and
the
62-yard
punt.
Yeah.
It's a shame for Norton. I thought the last two punts were terrible.
Yeah.
Prior to that, I thought he had one of the best days he's had in a Jaguar uniform, Fred. I mean, that one that he checked up on his own, he hit that one on the sideline that crossed just as it went out of bounds,
as deep as it could go. Right.
And, yeah, did a nice job, I thought, throughout, with the exception of the last couple. We forget about those now.
I know, right? Yeah.
That's okay.
Where they have a highlight in this game.
In this kind of game.
This type of game. Buffalo owned field position first 4 or 5 drives, and then that big punt, it changed field position. Buffalo had a decent drive, and then we lost field position again.
But. Yeah, but you know what, though, Fred? Because they pinned them back inside the 5, they could allow them to get 3 first downs. They still weren't at midfield.
Right there for a 3-and-out opportunity that they gave up.
Look, they right.
And
they
it was a weird game because the 3-and-out, it was 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-10. Then a few 3rd-and-7s, and Buffalo executed those.
Yep.
They had 5 third down executions in the first half, but it was 3rd-and-1 and 3rd-and-2, they couldn't execute. And they only had 2 third down conversions in the entire second half. So the defense made that adjustment and stepped it up.
7 out of 18 for them on third down. Cool. Jags 2 out of 12. On third down today.
Seemed like I'd rather be 7 out of 18.
I'd rather be 10-3.
It seemed like a lot more than that for Buffalo.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, you're right, Mark. You're right.
Hey, we'll come back. We'll get into the Everbank stats check a little bit more. Jags win at 10-3 over the Buffalo Bills. The Jags will face the Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field next Sunday. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
At Everbank, defined by performance isn't just a tagline. They live it.
So if you're looking to buy a house or refinance a mortgage, it's time to call your hometown lending specialists. They're ready to put in the work for you with competitive rates, local expertise, and unbeatable service. Get ready to make the most of your lending experience. Connect with an EverBank mortgage expert by visiting them online at everbank.com/lendingteam. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank is a division of TIAA, FSB, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS, 399805.
This is firefighter Rafael Porriette reminding you that every day a portion of every Firehouse Subs purchase goes towards helping first responders in our communities. That's why they make their subs so hot, hearty, and extraordinary. And now, for a limited time, every day, get a medium sub of the day for just $5.55. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time offer at participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.
As a business owner, nothing compares to the sense of pride you feel when unlocking your business first thing in the morning. In this moment, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. It doesn't matter if the business down the street has the same insurance you do. What matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Call Insurance Office of America today, 1-800-243-6899. Property insurance is not available in the state of Florida from Auto Owners Insurance.
Committed to the team. Committed to the mission. At Navy Mutual, we're committed to providing high-quality life insurance to members of the military and their families. So our policies have no fine print and no military service restrictions. We don't work on commission. We're nonprofit, so we pass the savings along to our members. Because at Navy Mutual, our highest commitment is to you. Visit NavyMutual.org. Navy Mutual, insuring those who serve.
Jaguars postgame continues. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. 10-3, the final. Jags over the Bills. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. Let's get into the EverBank stats check for this game. And Buffalo is going to lead the way in a lot of these because of a first half where they kept moving the ball down the field. They had a couple of long, sustained drives in this game. They had an 11-play drive and then punted in the first half, an 18-play field goal drive, which was one play shy of their season-long this year. The Bills had 20 first downs to the Jags, 15. Mike, as you said earlier, third down, 7 of 18 for the Bills. Jags were 2 of 12 on third down in this game. Total net yardage, 263 to 230 in favor of the Bills. Rushing yards, the Jags had 155 on the ground compared to the Bills' 130, 88 of those by Blake Bortles, by the way. Passing yards, 133 to 75 in favor of the Bills. Penalties, not much of an issue today, unless you're the Bills. They had the key one down near the goal line, the offensive pass interference. They had 5 for 52 yards. Jags had 5 penalties for 34 yards. The turnovers, of course, Jags had 2 takeaways, 2 interceptions today. The Jaguars' offense did not turn the ball over, and the Jaguars got the victory today, and they did it defensively, especially in the second half of this football
game. They certainly did, JP, but we'll go through some of those offensive stats regardless. Blake Bortles, 12 out of 23, 87 yards passing. He had the lowest first-half passing yards in a playoff game since Russell Wilson had 12 a few years ago, by the way. He was sacked twice but did throw the lone interception in the game, was not intercepted in this game, ended up with a quarterback rating of 75.8. You contrast that with Tyrod Taylor. It felt like the Bills were moving the ball better. Well, Tyrod, 17 out of 37, so below 50% passing as well. Blake was just a smidge above 50% passing. Not that either number is great, but 134 yards through the air, had the one interception. His quarterback rating today, 44.2 overall. Nathan Peterman came in 1 out of 3 and threw the game-sealing interception that Jalen Ramsey made a great play on. Blake Bortles was the biggest impact with his legs today. 10 carries for 88 yards, led all rushers in this game. Leonard Fournette had 21 carries that only mustered 57 yards. On the other side, LeSean McCoy probably exceeded a lot of expectations. 19 for 75 on the ground. Tyrod Taylor had 7 for 27, including converting a few key third downs. Dede Westbrook led the way for the Jags through the air. 5 grabs for 48 yards. Of course, Koyak, 1 catch, 1 yard, 1 touchdown. That's a pretty nice line as well. LeSean McCoy, like he did on the ground, led the Bills through the air with 6 grabs for 44 yards. Defensively is where some of the numbers will pop. Telvin Smith, 11 total tackles, 9 of those solos. Miles Jack, 6 tackles, 4 solos, including a sack. Calais Campbell, I thought, was everywhere in the first couple of drives of this game. Had 3 solos, 3 assists in this game. You had Boye with 4 tackles. I thought Marcel Darius played another strong game. He had 4 tackles, including 3 solos, including a tackle for a loss. And, of course, Jalen Ramsey coming up with the big interception, as did Aaron Colvin. First in a Jaguar uniform. What a great time for him to get that, despite playing with the flu.
Yeah, defense today, Fred, set the tone. Telvin Smith with 11 tackles in this game. They got to the quarterback a couple of times. They had the takeaways. That's the formula all year. Pressure and then play on the back end.
That's definitely the formula. What you want is play great defense.
Run the ball. Oh, my mic. You want to be able to play great defense and run the ball. That's just been the formula since football was invented, I guess. And Telvin, he's a guy who's always flown around. He was hungry. I think he stepped it up and added a little bit more energy to his game throughout after Paws got nicked up right there. But hats off to him. And going back to the stat check, Mike, Buffalo's last playoff loss was to the Titans. Steve McNair rushed for less than 100 yards. Their second playoff loss. Since then, quarterback threw for less than 100 yards, mm-hmm. Blake today. But and again, it doesn't matter these stats. You throw them out, this and that. And Tony was talking about, fans talking about ugly win. Look, fans, and I know a lot of them are listening. It's been so long since we've been in this position. We got to cheer the guys on. Ugly wins are great wins in the playoffs. And that's what it's all about. It can be ugly all the way to Minnesota. I don't care if it's by a point, 3 yards. I don't care what happens. You win the game, you win, and you move on. And that's what it's about at this particular point in time.
Survive in advance. Jaguars do it. They're headed to Pittsburgh for the divisional round next week. We'll return with player of the game voting on the Jaguars Radio Network. The Jags win it 12-3 over the Bills. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
At Farrah & Farrah, our goal is to protect your quality of life. That's why we built our website as a tool that you can use to get answers. Like, what do you do when you know your car is totaled, but the insurance company insists on fixing it? What if your child is injured on a field trip, but you signed a release form? What if a trespasser is hurt on your property? Do you have any responsibility? You've got questions, we've got answers at FarrahAndFarrah.com. Protecting you and your family since 1979. Offices, Jacksonville.
At EverBank, we're defined by performance. It's not just lip service. We live it and bring it to you every day through our Yield Pledge Promise, which guarantees your money will earn some of the most competitive yields around. And that promise is yours when you open a Yield Pledge checking or money market account. We do the legwork while your money performs. It's your money. Make the most of it. Stop by a local financial center or visit us online at everbank.com/jaguars. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank is a division of TIAA, FSB, member FDIC.
When this is the sound of a crackling campfire on a cool evening, you can sit back and relax. But when it's the sound of your counters and cabinets smoking and smoldering following a house fire that's affected your entire kitchen, you need to pick up the phone and call 1-800-SERV-PRO. Only the cleanup and restoration specialists at ServPro can help make fire and water damage like it never even happened. So make the call to 1-800-SERV-PRO when fire damage strikes. Franchises are independently owned and operated.
Hey, Jaguars fans, you ready to score McDonald's favorites this season? Download and register the McDonald's app. Cheer on our Jaguars, get great deals. The Jaguars' final score gets you a McDonald's favorite. 10 points, buy a premium dessert, get one free. 20 points, buy a Big Mac, get one free. And 30 points, buy a signature crafted recipe sandwich, get one free. It's good to be a Jaguars fan.
Price of required purchase posted on menu board. Valid through December 31st at participating McDonald's.
Final score 10-3, Jags over the Bills. Jaguars postgame rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, proud of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. The Jags are on to Pittsburgh in the divisional round next Sunday, 1:05 kickoff time from Heinz Field. Let's get the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game voting. In case you've been living under a rock all season, I get a vote. Mike gets a vote. Fred gets a vote and a half to break any ties. This could be a tough one today, gentlemen.
It could be.
Who wants to go first?
I would love to go first.
Go for it.
Before I get overruled by someone, I'm sure. Which is fine, and that's just the way it goes. All right. I thought the plays of the game were Blake Dekoyak and the Ramsey interception that sealed it. But I thought the player of the game, on a day when the defense carried the day for the Jaguars, Telvin Smith is the emotional heart and soul of this team. This guy was everywhere, and he was so fired up. He was getting his teammates fired up. He's getting the crowd fired up. 11 tackles, 9 solos. This is a big bounce-back game for Telvin. Since he got hurt, we haven't really seen one of these dominant all-over-the-field performances from him. It signals he is back in a big way. They're going to need that going forward. That's the big thing. They're going forward. Telvin Smith gets my vote for player of the game today.
Mm. Mm. Go ahead, Fred.
All right. Mike, I want to agree with you. Jeez, man.
But? That's all right. There could be a but coming here.
Jeez, man. I do want to agree with you on that. Telvin was all over the field. But for some reason, I'm digging deep. I want to go with Calais. The stats aren't pretty. And it's, you know, it's the stuff that you don't see in the stat sheet. And the fact that he was wreaking havoc the entire game. He didn't have a sack, so you don't see that on the stat sheet. But he caused so much disruption that freed up so many other guys to make plays. He got 4 QB hits on the quarterback there, 6 tackles, 3 solo, you know, for a big guy. I mean, in the run game, in the pass game, he was an influence. It's hard to go away from Telvin, but I'm looking at, you know, how Telvin was able to get to a lot of those other tackles. And that was because the big man playing interior. He's just all over the field today for me.
Calais did set the tone. There's no question about it.
Absolutely.
I got no problem with that. So the ball's in JP's court. Yes.
You can see a lot of that playoff experience and that energy coming from Calais as well.
Channeled it the
other players.
Yeah. So we're going to have a three-way split. So that means Calais is going to get it.
I mean, I'll defer my half point in the new year.
No.
I mean, because those other guys need recognition. No way. Those other guys need recognition.
So I'm going Jalen Ramsey in this game, and not just because of the game-ending pick. Great play, obviously, and that's why you drafted him when you drafted him, to make plays like that in the playoffs, and he did just that. But look at the receiving totals today for the leading receiver. I mean, McCoy was the leading receiver for the football team with a bad ankle. Mm. Thompson, 6 targets, 2 catches, 23 yards. O'Leary, 6 targets, 2 catches. Jones on the outside, 2 catches, 20 yards. Clay, the tight end, with 3 for 15. These guys didn't have room to breathe today, really. A couple short catches early in the game on Boye and one on Ramsey, and then that was about it today against Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye, for that fact.
You know, it does seem like, and I think it's a good point, JP, it does seem like, Fred, early in the game, we saw this in the San Francisco game as well. They had some success going at Ramsey right off the bat, right? And you saw a couple of completions on Ramsey in zone coverage. And I wonder if it's like the Jags are like, all right, we're going to try this. Let's see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And then we'll make our adjustment off that. And for the rest of the game, don't even bother looking in Ramsey or Boye's direction. Nope. I mean, that's really what it seems like with these two guys. I think arguably the best two individual cornerbacks in the league. I know Jalen got first-team All-Pro. I thought Boye was certainly deserving of it. But I think you made a pretty good case, JP.
Yeah, so Jalen Ramsey is my vote. That's my one vote.
Well, yes. All right. Yes. I want to throw out my half vote.
Oh, you're
– let's give the half to someone else?
No. Well, yeah, I'll give the half to Boye.
Okay.
Because I want to include, let's just agree to say the
how about the
All-Pro team.
The All-Pros for the Jaguars.
Malik Jackson had a big sack, and he's not All-Pro, but he's
a Pro Bowler.
Right.
Telvin was an All-Pro second-teamer. Right. Absolutely.
That's a good point.
Can we give him to the All-Pros? Telvin.
I think that is a
Calais,
good point.
Calais, Ramsey, and Boye.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's good all around. He was smarter than us.
He
JP.
Is. That's what happened.
Nah. And Malik can get honorable mention.
I like that.
Good stuff like that.
The All Pros and Pro Bowlers got it done today for the Jaguars. There's a reason why these guys are getting the accolades, and they showed it today in key situations for the Jaguars defense. Those are our Jaguars Radio Network players of the game. We'll return with a Baptist Health injury report. Jags win in the wild card playoff game. 10-3 is the final score. Jags over the Bills. This is Jaguars post game on Jaguars Radio. Workers' comp and auto injury claims can be complicated. That's why you need a pharmacy that specializes in handling workers' comp and auto injury prescriptions. Smart Workers Pharmacy won't make you wait days for your prescriptions. They'll fill your workers' comp or auto injury prescriptions right away with no upfront cost to you and deliver them right to your front door. When you think of workers' comp and auto, think Smart Workers Pharmacy. Ask your prescriber about Smart Workers Pharmacy or visit smartworkerspharmacy.com to learn more. The official pharmacy of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller at Tito's Handmade Vodka. I've been doing this for 20 years, but success doesn't happen in a vacuum. Thank you for helping me move this thing along. You helped me get this thing going in the early days by telling 20 of your closest friends about Tito's. They told 20 more, and it kept growing from there. We wouldn't be where we are today without your support. Thank you very much. Go to titosvodka.com and pick up some Tito's gear. All proceeds benefit our charity partners. Cheers. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas. titosvodka.com.
How do you become the official truck of the NFL? You make it tough with high-strength, military-grade aluminum alloy. You make it smart with Pro Trailer Backup Assist. You make it for work. And the weekend. Ford F-Series. Making tough jobs easier year after year. That's how you become America's best-selling truck 40 years straight. Score one at your local Ford dealer.
My name's Casey. I'm a JEA wastewater treatment manager. My responsibility to the community is to assure their health and safety when it comes to the environment and also the health and safety of the St. John's River itself.
We treat the water we've all used so we can safely put it back into the environment. Thanks to you, our community's use of reclaimed water is up to 14 million gallons a day and growing.
Find out more about reclaimed water and other conservation tips at jea.com/onewater.
At Steinmart, we love all the seasons, but football season may be our favorite, and we know our fellow Jaguars fans will agree. Whether you're looking for something for game day or every day, we have the brands you know at prices you'll love. We're honored to be a hometown company with 6 convenient locations in Jacksonville and proud to support our Jaguars. Visit us in-store or online at steinmart.com. Steinmart, saving is a beautiful thing.
Jaguars fans, Republic Services is now hiring CDL drivers in Duval and St. John's counties. With Republic Services, new drivers receive a $1,500 sign-on bonus and competitive benefits. Over 50% of managers in Northeast Florida started their careers as drivers. You can build your career too. Join the Republic Services team and make a positive impact on your community and the environment today. Visit republicservices.jobs for more information and to apply. Republic Services is a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wear the star. Drive your career.
Jaguars postgame continues. 10-3 the final score. Jags over the Bills in the AFC wildcard playoff game here at Everbank Field. A rowdy house today. Willed the Jaguars through defensively to get it done. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. The injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Pulpa Zluzny had a hip issue in this game, so you saw some of the backups come in there to take his spot in the football game. And the guys on the broadcast at least said that when that first happened, guys had a little slower step than Puz coming into the game, but they finished the job today. Jadon Mickens had a hamstring issue. You saw Dede Westbrook back returning punts later in the ball game. Parnell left the game for a moment, was back in. A couple other instances of something like that for the Jags today. But, you know, we didn't hear a lot from Marquise Lee today. He was banged up throughout the week, was active and ready for this game today. Alan Hearns didn't have a lot to say in this game today, but, I mean, the quarterback play was part of it. So, injury-wise, I mean, you wonder what the issue is with Paul Posluszny moving ahead. We haven't heard anything yet, but that was the most notable from today's game, at least.
No question, Fred. How much, obviously they're playing Pittsburgh next week, but with Le'Veon Bell at Pittsburgh's disposal, how much do you miss Paul Posluszny in your base defense, potentially?
I think you're going to miss him a lot, just because of what, just getting the guys lined up and everything that Le'Veon can do from, you know, the eye set, single back set, flanking out, you know, just having guys lined up and communicating, that's going to be the key, and communicating fast. I think the one play, there was a play in the game today where Telvin was kind of looking back and looking around, and he eventually missed the run downfield right there. So you got to have guys in position to give yourself a shot.
All right. We'll come back and preview next week. The divisional round.
Yeah, baby.
The Jags are headed to Pittsburgh, a place that Fred knows very well.
Love it.
We'll come back, discuss the divisional round game in a moment. It's Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to GEICO. I feel like a whole new person.
Disclaimer, you will not become a whole new person. This is impossible. You might be able to join a gym or diet program, buy a new wardrobe, get hair implants, but your DNA and physical form will remain the same. GEICO waives any and all liability if you attempt to become a new person, except a cyborg. If you choose to become a half-human, half-cybernetic organism with lasers for eyes, the GEICO legal team would be cool with that, because, quote, laser eyes are pretty sweet. Pew, 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 end quote.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
This is firefighter Rafael Porriette reminding you that every day a portion of every firehouse subs purchase goes towards helping first responders in our communities. That's why they make their subs so hot, hearty, and extraordinary. And now, for a limited time, every day, get a medium sub of the day for just $5.55. Firehouse subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time offer at participating locations. Firehouse subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.
At EverBank, defined by performance isn't just a tagline. They live it. So if you're looking to buy a house or refinance a mortgage, it's time to call your hometown lending specialists. They're ready to put in the work for you with competitive rates, local expertise, and unbeatable service. Get ready to make the most of your lending experience. Connect with an EverBank mortgage expert by visiting them online at everbank.com/lendingteam. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank is a division of TIAA, FSB, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS, 399805.
Committed to the team. Committed to the mission. At Navy Mutual, we're committed to providing high-quality life insurance to members of the military and their families. So our policies have no fine print and no military service restrictions. We don't work on commission. We're nonprofit, so we pass the savings along to our members. Because at Navy Mutual, our highest commitment is to you. Visit NavyMutual.org. Navy Mutual, insuring those who serve.
Final moments of Jaguars postgame. If you're on our flagship station in Jacksonville, 1010 XL Radio, stick around. The scoreboard show is next. I'm sure there'll be some happy Jaguars fans calling in tonight to celebrate the wild card win over the Buffalo Bills. 10-3, the final score. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. With this win, the Jaguars are on to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers for a second time this season. They went up there early and ran all over the Steelers and intercepted Ben Roethlisberger five times, a career high for Roethlisberger, and dominated the football game. Fournette ran for a 90-yard score late to blow it out, and that was a huge win to kind of turn the tide of this season, I think, early for this Jags team.
You know what, JP, you spoke with Shad Khan for the pregame show. I spoke with him as well this week, and we played that interview on Friday at Jaguars Today, and I asked him what was his favorite moment other than clinching the division this season. He said it had to be that Pittsburgh win. It really announced that they had arrived as a team that could play with the big boys, and he got more, Fred, he said, notoriety from friends, family, and just people that he would run into for winning that game than anything else that they did this year. It was the best win that they had this season, and it came in really dominating fashion.
Yeah, and if you go back and look at it, after that Jaguars loss, up until the Pittsburgh loss to the Patriots, which was very questionable with that touchdown there at the end zone,
yep.
Pittsburgh is a team that just got so much better after that and heated up. And I can agree with Mr. Khan on that. I was going to say Mr. Shad.
I know, right?
But Jacksonville understands what I think they understand. You know what's in front of them, because Pittsburgh, a team that improved and excelled since that loss, and Big Ben, he came back and he's been steady since then. So it's going to be a great challenge for him next week, and I think they'll be up for it. Because the confidence will say, you know, the jitters are gone. We've beat this team once at your house. We can come and we'll do it again. So I think because of that reason, they'll go out there and they'll play well and it'll be a very good game.
The Tennessee Titans get to go to New England and face the Patriots. What do you make of that matchup?
Look, you know, if Tennessee can play their game, I think that can bother New England a little bit, but why I have a vision in my head, as well as Derrick Henry played this week, The Patriots just stifling him, holding him around 50 yards in the game. You know, that's I know a lot of defense try to do this, take away what you do best, and he is clearly right now what they do best. So, look, I'd love if I can guarantee that the Jags are going to win against Pittsburgh, please, Tennessee, win that game, and we'll have the AFC Championship game back here in a couple weeks. Nothing wrong with that, right?
That's right, against the Titans.
You know, it's still a possibility, and for all the folks who wanted revenge against the Titans for the two wins earlier this year, who knows? You know, stranger things have happened. You might get your chance.
Everybody wants a rematch of 99. That's going to be the storyline if it happens. And I think Tennessee, somehow that team, they're finding a way to win games, man. Yesterday's game was ugly. I was as sick watching that game as I was when we lost to them in 99. I did not want to win. I was just hating.
No, right? None of us did.
So, but again, the Patriots are the Patriots. This is what they do. This is their time of the year right here. And Tennessee has a lot. So it'll be some intimidation involved earlier. But I think that team, they believe that they can go anywhere and win, especially after going to Arrowhead and coming back down from 18 and making enough plays to win that game. So they'll have that same fire motivation. One, just to get after Tom Brady. Everybody wants to do that. So they'll be excited going up there. You never know. So they're going to try and handle their business. But more importantly, Jacksonville, you know, it starts here. And I think the game plan will be intact. I look forward to Blake playing better. Definitely having more than 100 yards passing. And I think Leonard, you'll see a few more lanes for Leonard this week. As opposed to, next week, as opposed to this past game against Buffalo. Buffalo just had eight guys in the box and say, look, beat us with your receivers. And, Pittsburgh could try and copy some of that, but I just don't think they have the secondary to really get it done. They're bringing Joe Hayden, but still, he's a little bit older. But I think the guys are going to go out there and challenge him, and it'll be a pretty good game, and we'll, be ready for the AFC Championship.
I like it.
You say you can't call it. I can guarantee it.
It's a guarantee.
Fred guarantees that I feel good. I'm just going to see in 2 weeks then.
Is that a guarantee?
Guarantee.
Guarantee AFC Championship.
Guarantee.
I like it.
Guarantee.
I love it.
Guarantee.
Okay.
All caps.
Fred, well done. All we'll caps. Talk to you next week ahead of this game in Pittsburgh.
I'm looking forward to it. Same time, maybe?
105 Sunday.
105 Sunday.
Heinz Field.
Exactly right. I'll be from the couch.
That's right. You'll be down.
I'll be doing it from the couch.
I like it. We'll talk to you then.
Appreciate it, boss.
See you, Freddie.
Fred Taylor, Pride of the Jaguars running back. Stick around on our flagship station. The Scoreboard Show is next. 355-NFL-1 is the number. Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Director of Broadcasting, Patrick Cavanaugh. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Our Jaguars.com crew, Ashlyn Sullivan, Max Hockman, Dave DeCandis, Brian Sexton, the whole crew. Back behind the glass getting it done today. Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato, the producers. For Jeff Lagerman, Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey. This is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score in the wild card playoff. Jaguars 10, Bills 3 on the Jaguars Radio Network.